Okay, welcome everybody to our special pre-Purim Shir. We're sort of mamish Erev Tainis Esther for sure, and Erev Purim, Tafshin Ayin Tes. Today's Shir is called 127, From Motherhood to Royalty. After a nine-year separation with him in America and she in Europe, in 1922, Rabbi Avram Gold was finally reunited with his wife and family. His wife, Rachel, arrived on the shores of New York with their children in tow. Rachel Gold had heard about the problems in Treifa, America, and she resolved that her children would not join those Yidden who had abandoned Shabbos, abandoned Kashrus, and abandoned the Torah way of life. The very day after her arrival, Mrs. Gold began her quest to find her nine-year-old son, Yanko, a yeshiva to learn him. She was informed there was one yeshiva on the Lower East Side. Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef, known as RJJ, on Henry Street. So that morning, she walked into the office of the principal at RJJ with nine-year-old Yanko in tow. "My name is Mrs. Gold," she said. "We have just arrived from Europe. I would like my son to attend your yeshiva. When can he begin?" The story is told over by Rabbi Pesach Kron in one of his books. The principal smiled and he says, "Mrs. Gold, we are overcrowded. I'm very sorry. There is no room here for your son." "That is impossible," she said. "My son has to be in yeshiva." "Yes, Mrs. Gold," said the principal. "There are so many immigrant children with the same problem. We simply cannot accommodate all of the children," the principal said. "My son will sit with another boy in the same seat." "Yes, Mrs. Gold, we are already doubling up our students. Walk into any classroom. You will see they are all sharing seats and desks. They are sharing their chumashim. They are sharing their siddurim. I'm truly very sorry, Mrs. Gold. We cannot accept your son." She was exasperated. This was not going according to plan. She finally arrived in America, and there is no room for Yanko in a yeshiva. "How long will I have to wait," said Mrs. Gold, "to get Yanko into yeshiva?" "2 years," said the principal. She was stunned, but she was resolute, and with pride she answered, quote, "If we have to wait, then we will wait." Mrs. Gold and Yanko turned, they left the principal's office, and they walked slowly home. A short time later, she and Yanko returned to the yeshiva. They sat down on the front steps, mother and son, of the outside of the building. And Mrs. Gold said, "We will sit here. Let him hear the sounds of the children. Let him hear the sounds of the rabbeim. Let him hear davening. Let him learn Torah reading. Let him see the yeshiva brachim. We will wait." Mother and son sat on the front steps for hours. Soon it was time for recess. Droves of children spilled out of the building with Rabbeim who would supervise. One of the Rabbeim noticed this woman and her son sitting on the front steps. And he went over and he said, "Excuse me, can I help you in any way?" "No, thank you," said Mrs. Gold. "I am waiting." A few hours later, the same Rebbe noticed the same woman with the same little boy sitting on the front steps in the very same spot. "Excuse me," said the Rebbe to the woman, "who are you waiting for?" "I am waiting," said Mrs. Gold, "for my son to be accepted into this yeshiva." The Rebbe went to tell the principal to come to the door and see what was going on his front steps. For 3 long days, Mrs. Gold sat on those steps. Her son, Yanko, sat beside her. To pass the time, she sewed, she talked, she davened, and to anyone who would ask her what she is doing, she replied, "You cannot help me, no thank you, I am waiting." And suddenly, and somehow on the 4th day, her wait was over. Somehow room had been made for Yanko. 127, very famous number. particularly as we open up Megillas Esther, Vayihi b'Yimei Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? Rashi says on those words, what does it mean? Vayihi b'Yimei Achashverosh? Who Achashverosh? Isn't that repetitive? B'Yimei Achashverosh? Who Achashverosh? You just told me it's in the days of Achashverosh. What's who Achashverosh? So Rashi says on those words, Hu birish aso. He was a wicked Rasha. Mitchilaso v'ad sofo. Do not think that Achashverosh is the good guy and Haman is the bad guy. They're in this together. Right as you open the Megillah, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Rashi quotes Chazal and tells you, Hu birisho. He was a Rasha. Just like the Rasha'im today. Sometimes they pretend to be our friends and they invite us to their parties and they pretend to hold our hands, proverbially, hopefully, and everything is wonderful. And sometimes, like Haman, they show us their true faces. Do not think those who pretend to love you in the palace of the king are your friends. Ayihi b'yamei Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? He is as wicked as Haman. Who took off the ring? Who gave you the permission to kill all the Jews? Who sent out the runners? V'aratzim yatsu d'chufim. Sheva v'asrum umeya medina. He was the king of 127 provinces, Mihodu Hamolech, Mehodu v'ad Kush. I just saw that Hodu to Kush is India to Ethiopia. Where did I see that? Actually, in the art scroll, the original, I'm reading now the Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz biography. I've mentioned that in some of my classes. Very, very interesting and inspiring. But the first project that art scroll did in 1975 was the commentary on the Megillas Esther. So one of the comments in the original commentary from 1975, I was just learning with somebody yesterday, that Hodu to Kush was India to Ethiopia. He was a king over a vast empire, especially when we consider that we're talking in ancient times, and he was the ruler over 127 provinces. How important is Megillat Esther? And yes, the Shem Hashem, there is no Shem Hashem. Meforash, written, explicitly written, there are allusions to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is no actual Shem Hashem in the Megillah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah 2:18, all prophetic books, all Nevi'im, and all Kesuvim, all writing, Asidin Livatel. Asidin Livatel, Asidin Livatel, in the future will be nullified, meaning B'Yamos HaMashiach. It's hard for us to imagine exactly what the... No, it's impossible for us to imagine what our existence will be like. Halavai, there were... I forgot to say that this shir is Lilui Nishmas, Sarayuta, Allah HaShalom, Basifrai Menachem Mendel, Vadina Marton Sheyichyu. It is also, it's for her Aliyah Neshama, and it's a schus for Refuah Shalema, for Chaya Rezel, Bastina, Basoch, Sha'arch, Allah Yisrael. Why did I think of it now in the middle of the shir? Because I was saying, we can't imagine what Mashiach will be like. Yeah. One thing we know, we won't have suffering, and we won't have pain, and we won't have inexplicable tragedies, for which we don't have answers. We won't have such difficulties to grapple with, because az yamalei schok pinu ushalneinu rina, because in the end of days it will only be laughter. Our mouths will be filled with song and our tongues will be filled with joy. Hazorim bedima berina yiktsaru. All of the tears that we invested now will come back and we will sow, we will reap the bounty of our tears. So the Rambam writes, going back to the Rambam, that all of the prophetic books, all of the Nevi'im, and all of Kesuvim, Asidin Livatel, in the future will be nullified in the days of Mashiach, with the exception of Megillas Esther, which is as permanent as Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's an unbelievable statement. Out of all of Nevi'im and all of Kesuvim, what is on the level, so to speak, of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Megillas Esther. And Megillas Esther obviously seems like a story. It's something that the children can relate to. And, you know, my daughter was just telling me that my 2.5-year-old nephew and his first cousin from the other side, they know the whole story. It doesn't seem very complex. It doesn't seem very difficult to grasp. It's a story of a queen and a king. I just heard told over by Rav Shai Shachter that people think that the story takes place overnight. You know, it's a relatively short Megillah, 10 chapters long. The 10th chapter is just a few psukim long. You read it somewhere between 35 to 45 minutes. Shine, it's done. One day he doesn't like Vashti. The next day he has a beauty pageant. The next day Esther is queen. The next day Haman wants... I'm joking. This is not correct. The next day Haman wants to kill everybody. The next day the Jews win. And now we have Purim. You think it happened over 6 days? That's not what happened. Rav Shachter said it was over a period of minimum 10 years. So this is a time period in history where they do not know what's about to happen. We know the ending, because since I'm two, I could tell you the story of Megillas Esther. They don't know the ending, but there's something very deep, something very profound, that not only will this book, this Megillah, this scroll, remain b'yamos HaMashiach, halavai, it should be immediately and in our days, not only will it remain b'yamos HaMashiach, but furthermore, it's equated with Chamisha Chumshei Torah. If the only thing we will have b'yamos HaMashiach from Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, is Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Torah part. And one thing we will have from Ksuvim, and that is Megillas Esther, as well as the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So it means it's on a very high level of Kedusha, very, very different than the Chumash. The Chumash is full of Ayomer Hashem El Moshe, and God is constantly speaking. It is a revealed Siyata Deshmaya, whereas in Megillas Esther, it is a very hidden degree of Hashkacha Pratis, and nevertheless, something is very important about this book. So important that the Rambam equates it with Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There's a fascinating Medrash, which is really the basis of today's title. It's Medrash Bereishis Rabba Nun Ches Gimel, 58:3. I'm going to quote the Lashon of the Medrash. Rabbi Akiva Haya Yosef, Rabbi Akiva was sitting, v'doresh, and he's giving a shir, v'hatzibur misnam neim. Their people are sleeping. He's giving a shir. Sometimes it happens that you give a shir. I wouldn't know from experience. That's also a joke. But sometimes it happens that you're giving a shir, and people are tired. Nechama libu, it's Alei Lasham used to say, when people fell asleep in a shir, look how much schar halicha they get. They love Torah so much. They're so tired, she would say, they can't even stay awake, but nevertheless, they come to shir. Okay. So sometimes it happens, I could tell you from experience, that people are tired, so they can't stay awake. So it happened to Rabbi Akiva also. Okay. I could be in worse company. Rabbi Akiva haya yoshei v'doresh. Rabbi Akiva is giving a shir. V'hatzibur mis nam neim. They're sleeping. B'keish la'oron, so he wants to wake them up. Well, what would you say if people are sleeping? So you could go like this, you know, work into the shir that somebody knocked on the door, and so you knock on your shtender, maybe that works. You could be very dramatic, you could say something that's very exciting. So what did he say? Amar, ma rasa Esther, what did Esther see, and what merit was Esther worthy? Shatim loch al sheva ve'esum umeya medina, what made Esther worthy, so to speak, that she ruled over 127 provinces? We already quoted the first pasuk of the Megillah, so what's the answer? Ela, now remember we quoted the Rambam already, in Echos Megillah, and we have already made a connection from the Rambam between Esther and Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's very important. That means on some level, this Megillah is on the level of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Because if it's going to be around B'yamos HaMashiach, only Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Bereishis Shmos Vayikra B'Midbar and Dvarim, and Megillas Esther with Torah Sheba'al Peh, so it's on a very high level. So here's another connection between the Megillah and between the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. What did he say? They're sleeping. So he says, listen, I want to wake you up. What am I going to tell you? In what merit did Esther see? What did Esther see? Why was she worthy of ruling over 127 provinces? Ella, Tavo Esther, Shahaisa Bas Bita Shal Sarah. Let Esther come, who is the great, 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 great granddaughter of Sarah. What does Sarah have to do with anything? You open up Parshas Chayei Sarah, which is Perach of Gimel Shmos. And when Sarah dies, Vayihi Chayei Sarah, how old was Sarah? Me'a Shanim, V'Esrim Shana, V'Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. How old was Sarah? 127. So Chazal pick up on when you have a similarity, whether it's in a Lashon, or it's in a word, or it's in a number between here and here. So Chazal say there has to be a connection. So if Sarah lived for 127 years, and Achashverosh's new wife Esther is queen over 127 provinces, there must be a kesher between who? Sarah's 127 years, and Esther's 127 provinces. So Ella, so remember, Rabbi Kiva's waking them up. This isn't so early. earth-shattering. I don't know if I was sleeping in a shir, if I would, thank God I don't sleep in shir, but if I would wake up from this. Ela tavo Esther, shahaisa bas bita shal Sarah, let Esther come, who is the bas bita, the great-great-great-granddaughter of Sarah, shahaisa meyav esrim v'sheva, that she lived 127 years, v'timloch al meyav esrim v'sheva medinos, let her rule over 127 provinces. What kind of measures is this? What are Chazal teaching us? Because she lived 127 years, she ruled over 127 provinces, and furthermore, how's that going to wake anybody up? And why is it Dafka Rabbi Akiva who's teaching us this lesson? So do you understand the questions, which I hope, as our Sashan Bli Neder, we're going to resolve through today's Shia. Number one, I don't know what order I said them in before, but number one, what are 127 years? What Shaychus is there to 127 provinces? Number two, why Davka Rabbi Akiva giving us this lesson? Why not somebody else? Why not Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan? I don't know, somebody else. Tash Rabbi Simlei, somebody else. Number three, why is that going to wake anybody up? What's the message? Wake up. I have a piece of news for you. It's not so earth-shattering. It's going to wake me up. It's not so exciting. What is his message to his Talmidim? Furthermore, this Medrash teaches a further connection between the Megillah and Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Sarah Imenu was the first of our Imahos. She was the Ezer Kenegdo of Avraham Avinu. Very famous Rashi to Bereshis 12:5, Yod Beis Pasuk Hey. As a Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, they're journeying to the new land and they're leaving Charan and they're taking the souls that they made as called Rechushan. They take Lot, they take their possessions. Avram and Sarah go and the Pasuk says they take all their possessions that they amassed in Haran. What are the possessions that they amassed? They had so much furniture, they had Persian rugs. What are they possibly taking all the way from Ur Kasdim to Haran, to the promised land? So Rashi famously says, what did they take? The nefesh means the souls, shehichnisum tachas kamfei ashchina. Who did they take? Those souls that they brought under the wings of the divine presence. Says Rashi, Avram migayer es ha'anashim. Avram taka would convert, would bring the light of God, the one God. It was a time when ovdei kochavim was rampant. He would bring the awareness of the one almighty to the men. V'sara migayer es ha'anashim. Sarah would convert, so to speak. Not exactly in the way we understand conversion today, but she would bring awareness of the omnipotent, almighty to the Nashim. So she's an Ezer Kenegdo. She is with him in all of his Nisyonos. Some of them involve her, taken by Paro, taken by Avimelech. Those are Nisyonos that directly affect her. They have to go down to Egypt. So there is a connection, a further connection here between the Ksuvim of Megillas Esther and the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, specifically in Bereishis between Esther and Sarah. What's the connection between these two women? What does Rabbi Akiva want us to learn? And what can we learn about ourselves? It means there's a connection between these two women. It's not stam that she was taken by the king. It is a connection. I don't mean stam. Sarah's taken by the king. Esther's taken by the king. But what else is going on here? What deeper lesson is Rabbi Akiva teaching us? So if you go to Perek Yud Ches in Bereishis, you're not going to go to Perek Yud Ches, but I am. I'm going to tell you that Perek Yud Ches is the Perek of the Malachim visiting Avram and Sarah. Avram and Sarah were married for a very long time. We know it right at the end of Parshas Noach, right at the end of Perek Yud Aleph. We are told that Avram married Yiska. Well, she says Yiska is Sarah, the only time she's called Yiska. A different, fascinating shir for a different time. And they married a very long time. Avram is 75 when he gets to the Holy Land. We don't know how old they are, at least not according to Pasha Pshad. If there's a medrash that says, I have not seen it. Anyone's aware, you could please share with me. At some point they got married. They're married for a long time. And one day, they're doing their thing in their tent. She's in the tent. Avram's sitting outside post bris milah, which is Perek Yud Zayin. So he's sitting by the entrance to the tent. Kechom hayom, it's very, very hot. Rashi says, God took the sun out of its sheath. to make it even harder than usual. Hashem comes to Vivakar Cholim, so to Yudal Amar Aleph. And Avram has a lot of pain, not physical pain from Bris Mila, but spiritual pain. He's not Osek in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Archim. He is the Bechinas Chasad, and he wants to do Hachnasas Archim, and there's nobody here for him to welcome. He's so excited. Can you imagine? There's these three dusty nomadic Arabs who worship the dust on their feet. It's the croissant. He bows down. He's so happy. Please come here. We'll bring some water. You'll have something to eat. You're reclined under the tree. Good. So they make a meal, and Sarah's baking, and they're shechting cows, tongues and mustard sauce. What's the purpose of them coming? One is coming, says Rashi, to do Bikur Cholim for Avram. One is coming, that's another interesting question, by the way, to destroy Saddam. So why is he taking the scenic route? If he's going to destroy Saddam, why doesn't he just appear in Perek Yates when it's time to destroy Saddam? I thought, Ein Malach Achas Osa Shtei Shluchos. What is he coming to? The tent of Avram and Sarah, if he's supposed to be going to destroy Saddam. There's a direct route to Saddam. Take it. You're an angel. You don't need to bypass anything. As the crow flies. Another question. And finally, one is coming to give Besuras Tovos. What are the Besuras Tovos? Hinei Ba'ohal. Tzanua Hi. Very famous. Rashi, she's a Tzanua lady. And the angel says, at this time next year, I will return Ula Sarah Ben. She's going to have a child. Now, Avram Vesara Zekeinim Baim Bayamim. The Torah narrates, we take a break from the conversation between Avram and the angels to tell you that they are old. Chadaliyos Sar, or Kenashim. She no longer is in the natural way of woman, i.e. she's not able naturally to have children anymore. That time period in her life was finished. Atitzchak Sar Bikir Balemor. So she laughs. Acharei Velosi Haisali Edna Vadoni Zakein. I'm all withered. I'm all old, I'm 89 years old. Now, I'm going to have a child. Never mind Adoni Zakein, he is 99. Seriously, what kind of bracha is this? Immediately, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lama Zetzacha Kasara. Why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? She's 89, 99. They've been married for all these years. What do you mean, why did she laugh? Lamer ha'af umnam eleid va'aniza kante okay shina medavrim epnei shalom. Bekitzor, Hashem says, why did she laugh? Hayipale me Hashem davar. Is anything beyond God? La moed ashuv elecha ke'ez chayu l'sar ben. I am telling you that next year at this time, when the scratch reaches the same place in the wall, she's going to have a child. So Avram apparently goes to Sarah, and what does he say to Sarah? Why are you laughing? So what's Sarah's reaction? Very strange piece of chumash here. We're talking about Avram and Sarah, the Avos and the Imahos, the founders of the Umi Yisraelish. She denies laughing. Lo tzachakti, I didn't laugh. You didn't laugh? Go back to Psukim. Atitzchak Sarah Bikirba. What on earth is going on here? Lo tzachakti, ki areya, she was afraid. Vayomer, and he says, lo ki tzachak. She laughed. God says, why did she laugh? Abram says, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. He says, you did laugh. Immediately in the aftermath of this exchange, the angels pick up and leave. What's going on here? What's going on here? Rav David Holzer has a beautiful and very important pshat. Rav David Holzer was a shamish of Rav Salvechik, and he compiled sichos, if you will, of Rav Salvechik into different svarim. The Rav allowed verbatim transcripts of Rav Salvechik shirim. And at different times, Rav Holzer adds some of his own insights, indicating when they are his own insights. He says he presented this pshat to Rav Salvechik, who said, very nice, footnote reads, the reader can rest assured that I presented many interpretations from Rav Salvechik, those he did not approve of, I did not include in the sefer. What's his pshat? Key word is bikirba. Atitzchak Sarah Bikirba, Lemor, Acharei Velosi, Haisi Li Adna Vodoni Zakein. Who or what was Sarah laughing at? Was Sarah laughing at the Ribono Sha'olam, Hayipale Me Hashem Davar? Shov Ashuv Ke'ez Chaya Ula Sarah Ben. Are you laughing at God? Ateis Haksar Bikirba does not mean she was laughing at God. What does it mean? Bikirba. At her inside. I.e., at herself. Listen, I know God could do anything he wants. I'm not sure at this age I could have a child. I'm not denying God's ability. Of course the Ribono Shel Olam could do whatever he wants. Wasn't I Megayer, all those Nashim? This isn't about me laughing at the Ribono Shel Olam. It's about me laughing at Sarah Imenu. And that's why she denies laughing. When Avram apparently says to her, why did you laugh? She says, Lo tzachati. Sorry, you mean lying? Chas v'shalom. They're talking about two different laughters. She says, I'm not laughing at the Ribono Shel Olam. Of course Hashem could heal a chola, even if a doctor says it's not possible. Of course the Ribono Shel Olam could find someone a shirach, even if al pi teva, it seems there's no chance. Of course Hashem could make deaf children hear and speak with cochlear implants, even if it seems the most craziest thing like from another planet you ever heard of. Of course Hashem could make airplanes. I could be in Eretz Yisrael in 10 hours, things my grandparents only dreamed of. I'm not denying the power, the ratzon, the kochos of the borei olam. He's borei as a kol. He could also give an 89-year-old woman a child. Lo tzachakti. I'm not laughing at Hashem. Ki yareya. I'm a yirei shamayim. Ki yareya. What is she saying? How could you think I laughed? I'm a yirei shamayim. I'm not laughing. So what's she laughing at? But she did talk a laugh. Atitzchak Sarah bikirba. I'm not sure I can have a child. At my age, when I'm old and withered, Haisali Edna, I'm going to be youthful again. I'm going to get up in the middle of the night. Am I going to be able to nurse? Am I going to be able to go uninterrupted 2 hours of sleep? I'm going to have to take the kid to God. I'm going to have to change diapers. I think I'm past my prime. It's true Hashem could give the capability for cochlear implants. That's not a question. Can I, a human being, have the kochos and the resources to teach a deaf child to hear and speak? Can I build an airplane? Yes, God could fly us around the world. So what does Avram say to her? Lo, you're wrong. Kitzachak, you did laugh. What does that mean? If you deny your ability, and the Ribono Shel Olam puts you into a certain matzav, then in essence, you're saying, God doesn't know what he's doing. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't be a master therapist, a deaf child. No, thank you. It's not for me. I'm going to teach this child. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to go to the king, a nice Jewish Beis Yaakov girl, and save all the Jews from 127 provinces. Let the one who is the lived for 127 years, teach her daughter who rules over 127 provinces. That means there's a connection between Sarah and Esther. What's the pshat? What's the connection? Do we see a similar trait between both these Jewish males? Do I see that trait within myself? Did you never face a matzav and vatitzchak, adding your name, bekirba? Did you ever, never, ever wake up in life and say, okay, I'm sure you could solve this problem, but I'm not the right shaliach here. I don't have the kochos, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the resources, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the patience, fill it in, I don't have the courage or the bravery, go find somebody else. Shlach nabiyat tishlach. Moshe said, very nice. You want to free the Jews? Go find somebody else. It's not that Sarah was laughing at Hashem. Sarah was laughing at Sarah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, he died in 1900 in Poland. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, born in 1823, says, Kishem sha'adam tzarich la'amim ba'Hashem, kein tzarich ha'adam la'amim ba'atzmo. Kesheim sha'adam tzarich l'ha'amin b'Hashem. Kein tzarich ha'adam l'ha'amin b'atzmo. Nobody here denies belief in God. It's inborn in us and it's ingrained in us. No one has a problem with Amunah here, Baruch Hashem. Sometimes I have a problem with wondering if I am brave enough, strong enough, courageous enough, am I the right person for the job? What did Avram say to her? Lo ki tzachak, says Rav Holzer, laughing at yourself in a way is denying that Hashem can get you out of this matzav, is denying your ability to do this ishtalos. The Ribon Sha'olam wants you to be the mother of the Umei Yisraelis, and you're 89 years old, you're going to be the mother of the Umei Yisraelis. If the Ribon Sha'olam wants you to save the people in 127 provinces, then when Mordechai says go to the king, you should not say, I don't know, everybody knows, it's against the law, you go to the king, you're not called, he didn't extend the Sharvit Azav, he's a crazy person, remember, who berisho mitchiloso vad sofa, first Rashi to the Megillah, look what he did to the first wife who didn't listen to him. I just read over Shabbos in Mishpacha, I don't know if anybody saw, it was an article in Family First, I just skimmed it, but one thing it said is that Esther was the first, not Esther, Vashi was the first feminist. I thought it was very cute. He says come, and she says, I'm not coming. Who are you to tell me what to do? So Esther says, listen, this guy's very volatile. He clearly has an issue with women who do not listen to the rules. In fact, the first letter they sent out said, what did the first letter say? All wives, you knew your car, Lavale and the Migdolvar Kadon. The guy sends a letter to 127 provinces that all women have to honor their husbands from young to old. No matter how long you're married for, I was in a... I had my shaytel done yesterday, and there was a woman there. She says, are you engaged? I said, am I engaged? The Migdol Va'ad Katan. God, I never got before. The Migdol Va'ad Katan. What kind of rule is that? So Esther says, listen, everybody knows you go to the king. You're not called. Look what happened to Vashti. I'm going to go to the king. I'm an orphan. Her mother and father died. Mordechai the God Oldar is raising her. She went through exile. She went through Chorban. They're living in Galus. It's a time of Hester Panim. Remember, the story's not overnight. It's at least 10 years. She's already in a disaster situation. She's in essence being kidnapped. She's living with Achashverosh. Never mind that he's not Jewish and she's married to Mordechai. Al tukri levas, al alabai, says the Gemara. Now she has to go to the king. Me, Batitzchak. Sarah Bikirba. What did Sarah say? I don't think so. Not me. Rabbi Akiva Hayadoresh. Vatsibur mis nam name. Bikesh la oran. Amar ma rasa Esther shatimla chashava vesumu mea medina. Rabbi Akiva is giving a drasha. And everybody's sleeping. And he says, I need to wake you up. I'm going to wake you up by telling you about 127. From mother to royalty. Tavo Esther, Shahisa Bas Bita Shal Sarah. Let Esther come, the great, great descendant of Sarah. Shachaya Meiv Esther V'Sheva. She lived 127. V'Timlach Meiv Esther V'Sheva Midos. Let her rule over 127. What's the connection between Sarah and Esther? The necessity to find the courage within ourselves. The necessity to believe as a Bas Yisrael today, the Migdol Va'ad Katan, no matter how old I am, that I'm not too old to do what the Ribon Sha'olam wants from me. I have the kochos. Kashem Sha'adam Tzarich La'amim Ba'Hashem. Of Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Kein HaAdam Tzarich LaHa'amin Ba'atzmo. It's never too late, I'm never too old, even if I'm 89, even if I'm a terrified Beis Yaakov girl who's been taken to the clutches of the king, her 27 is her 127. Ayomer Mordechai lahashiv el Esther. Mordechai said, return word to Esther, al tadami v'nafsheich, lima bitlei beis hamelech mikol ha-Yehudim. Now is not the time. Hinei ba'ohel. Of course she's in the tent. Now is not the time to remain in the tent. Now is not the time to be the timid and the quiet Sarah. Now is not the time to be the terrified Esther. Al tadami dom, silence. B'nafsheich li malein beis ha'melech mikol yudim. We so often find ourselves in situations that seem impossible. Believe me, I'm talking to Michal Horowitz. Says the Rav elsewhere, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. It's always a sunny day. I'm not talking about the weather report. Sometimes it's cloudy. It's not the time to be deaf. It's not the time to be silent. Don't worry, the Ribon Sha'olam, the Mekom Sha'olam will save us. However, what about you? You will have lost your chance. What will happen to you, Sarah, if you don't step up to the plate? What will happen to Knesset Israel? Who will birth Yitzchak? Who will be the mother of the Umi Israelis? The Ribon Sha'olam will ensure that we will always continue, but you will lose your chance. Somebody else will do the job, but God doesn't want somebody else. He wants you. Atitzchak Sar Bekirba. One unknown diarist commented on seeing two pregnant women in the Warsaw ghetto. Quote, if in today's dark and pitiless times, Jewish women can gather enough courage to bring a new Jewish being into this world and rear him, this is great heroism and daring. At least symbolically, these nameless Jewish heroines do not allow the total extinction of the Jews and of Jewry. It's not that the Ribon Sha'olam will not have Knesset Yisrael always here. It's that the Ribon Sha'olam expects man to step up to the plate, expects a partnership. And sometimes we doubt ourselves. Whether it's about saving the people like Sarah, who had to birth Yitzchak, and Esther, who had to save every Jew in 127 provinces, or it's about saving myself and my family. And my daughter told me a beautiful vart on Shabbos. She learned in school. The gematria, what is the Shabbos Zachar? It was just Shabbos Parsha Zachar. The mitzvah to go and publicly, Zachar is a positive commandment. It's not a good idea. Zachar, as the Sher Salach HaMalik, it's a mitzvah's aseik, ends with lo tishkach, it's a mitzvah's lo taseik. So there's a dual mitzvah here. On the one hand, you got to remember. On the other hand, you can't forget. There was two kadoshim utahorim, shanir tzichu al kiddush Hashem. An attack on Sunday, Gal Kedar Hashem Yukom Damo, and Rabbi Achiyad Ettinger Hashem Yukom Damo. I don't know how we could forget, but in case you could forget Amalek, you have to hear it read out loud. What was so bad about Amalek? Zachar Sosher Salach Amalek, Vederech Betzeis Hamim Mitzrayim. It's a passage from Devarim, Perichav Hei, Psukim Yud Zayin through Yud Tes. Asher karcha baderach, they chanced upon you on the way. They happened upon you. Vayizanei b'chol kol ha'nechshalim acharecha. We were weak. We were tzakrachana. We were tzahargana. We had numbers on our arms. We had babies in the rivers. We had shoes along the Danube. We were just out of slavery. We hadn't even gone to Matan Torah. It's the end of Parshas Peshach. Perek Yud Zayin. When they first attacked, the passage that we read is from Devarim when Moshe recounts it. So there's a machlokas, you should know amongst the commentators, who didn't fear God, but according to Rashi, Amalek did not fear God. Why didn't they fear God? Because they didn't see God. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch points out, Velo Yare Elokim. Yeah? To see God and to revere God is what? The same word in Hebrew, lirot and yirah, is the same word. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch points out that if you see the Ribono Shel Olam in your life, So you revere the Ribbono Shel Olam because he's a real presence in my life. And if you don't see God in life, then of course you don't have Yerushalayim. What does Sarah say? Lo tzakachti ki yarei. I didn't laugh. Why? Says the Torah, she was a yarei. What does that mean? It's a compliment. It doesn't mean she's trembling in her boots because she's afraid. It means I am a God-fearing woman. I see Hashem. I know he's with me. Myself, I'm not so sure, but the Ribbono Shel Olam I see. Below Yare Elohim, says Rav Shamsham Falhurst, because Amalek does not see or perceive, we don't mean see in the literal sense, we mean feel that God is with me, therefore he is not a Yireh Shamayim. Why? What does Amalek introduce into our psyche, into this world, that is so detrimental that before you celebrate Beit Purim, remember Amalek? Why, by the way, Haman, Agag, Yitzorah, Yehudi, Misara, Amalek, Haman, from Agag, from Amalek. My daughter told me something beautiful on Shabbos. Amalek in Gematria equals Safek. Maybe some of you have heard this. I hadn't heard it before. Amalek is Safek. What is Safek? Doubt. Doubt. Batitzchak Sara. You should all remember the next word. Bekirba. I'm not laughing at God. I doubt myself. One second. I'm trying to find the pasuk that I want to quote. Kol avdei hamelech va'amidinos hamelech yodim. Asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo al hamelech. Al hachatzar pnimis asher lo yikarei. Achas daso lahamis. Amalek introduces safek. I can do this because I don't perceive the Almighty, because I don't revere God. Amalek became Amalek. But what they want to introduce into our psyche is a doubt. Maybe not only a doubt of God, but a doubt of ourselves. Maybe they think, if they kill enough Jews, Rachmana Litzlan, Admasai, Manomer, Manadaber. Maybe they think if they kill enough Jews, then we will abandon Eretz Yisrael. They introduce Safek into the psyche of our people. I can't. I won't. You know, the little engine that could. He could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. They introduce Safek. Vani lo nikreisi lavo alamech zeshloshim yam. Can I wait a little? Can I procrastinate a little? Amalek, who we have to remember, before we celebrate Purim, the queen who ruled over 127 provinces, who's the daughter of the daughter of the daughter of the one who lived 127 years, wants us to doubt ourselves. Sometimes that's our gravest error. Sometimes that's the greatest danger to our own success. I don't doubt God. That's not my problem. But me, I'm going to do this job. And it seems insurmountable. I don't know if I have the koach. That's Amalek, and that's the mitzvah of Zechira. What are we remembering? That they introduce Safek into our national and our into our individual psyche. And I think I can't. So like Sarah, Esther gets the message. Like Sarah, who has Yitzchak, who raises Yitzchak, Garesh, the boy, does she step up to the plate? Garesh, asa amazos v'espina, ki lo yirashcha, ki benim Yitzchak. She embraces her tafkir after a little bit of reprimand, if you will, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So too Esther, ki macharesh tacharishi ba'es hazos, ravach v'hatzala yamod ha'yehudi mimakam achar v'at u'beis avich tovedu. However, dear Esther, you should know, u'mi odeya im la'ei kazod higat l'malchus. Who knows if your entire life was for this very purpose? Your whole tafkid in life is to birth Yitzchak. Your whole tafkid in life is to be an Esther Hamalka. Your whole tafkid in life is to go free the Jews. What are you arguing for? A week at the snare. Okay, so we're going to do it. Reichnos es kol Yehudim. Hanimtzaim b'shushan, v'tzumu alai. Okay, I'm going to do it. Al tochu v'al tishtu laila v'yam. Shoshes yamim. Gam ani v'nar asai etzum keinu v'chein av'ol ha-melech. V'kasher avadati avadati. If God wants that I shall perish, then I shall perish. But at least I have tried. The Gemara tells us that one of the questions a person will be asked in the Beis in Shomal is a sakta b'piria v'rivya. Were you osek in pru or vu? So unfortunately, some have a very difficult nisayon. You should never know from such a thing. I'm not having children. Not being able, like we said, we can't understand the ways of Hashem. The Gemara doesn't say you will be asked, did you have children? You'll be asked, asakta, did you try? Did you do her stadlus? Did you pour forth your effort? If Esther had done everything right, and she still wasn't able to save the people, at least she could say, I tried. God, I did what you wanted of me. I cannot ensure the end result. Only God can guarantee the end result. But the asakta, were you osek? Did you at least try? Did you involve your hand in the matter? Let the one who ruled over 127 provinces learn from the one who lived 127 years. So that's a very strong kesher between the Megillah and the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, between Esther and Sarah. Why Rabbi Akiva? That was one of our first questions. Why Rabbi Akiva? It should be obvious, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Rabbi Akiva was 40. We're coming up to Sfiras HaOmer. I love talking about Rabbi Akiva when we get to Sfiras HaOmer, even though, of course, there's much more we can learn from Rabbi Akiva, but he's a very inspiring Torah personality, Torah Shebaal Peh personality. Why Rabbi Akiva? Because he was 40 years old. He was Akiva ben Yosef. He was the son of a poor convert. He was a shepherd. He was illiterate. He was an ignoramus. And he's working for Kalba Savua. By the way, that's Aramaic. In Hebrew, that reads Kalev Soveya. It was just an appellation. Kalba Savua was so rich that dogs who came to his property left satiated. Kalev Soveya. Kalba Savua. Okay. And Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua, takes a liking and sees a spark. She says, you should go learn in yeshiva, then I'll marry you. He can't even read. He doesn't know Aleph. He's 40. I don't know how long they lived in the olden days. My life expectancy wasn't what it is today. So how many years does the guy have left already? Now I'm going to go learn in yeshiva? Now I'm going to become a Gadol Hador? Now I'm going to expound upon the crowns, upon the letters of Torah? At this age, I'm going to be a shepherd. My father was a convert. I'm poor. I'll make enough money to support myself, and then I'll die. Rabbi Akiva found the exact same innate internal courage that Sarah and Esther and we must all find. And in fact, just like Sarah laughed at herself, atis hotzar bekirba, and just like Esther initially denied that she's the right woman, Rabbi Akiva also had his moment. And you know the famous Medrash that he was walking by a rock and he saw water dripping onto the rock. He was ready to give up. At the age of 40, and he saw the water dripping onto the rock, and it pierced the rock. And so that was his moment. He's walking because he's going to give up. And what does he say so famously? If water can pierce that rock, then Torah can pierce my heart. And he didn't give up. Hayipalei mehashem davar. You just have to do your hishtadlus. Asakta b'piria v'rivya. I'm not going to ask you if you were successful at the job, because only God can guarantee success. But did you try? When you were 89 and you heard you're going to become a mother, not any mother, not any mother, the mother of the promised nation, did you try or did you give up? And when you heard that your whole life, your whole life is for this reason, or this moment, for this nisayon. Think, ladies, of a nisayon that seems impossible to you. Maybe your whole life is for that nisayon. Maybe, do you know? So what did you say? Did you throw in the towel? Did you say, I'm leaving yeshiva? Did you say, I'm 40 and I can't do it? Or did you say, I'm going to try? God, you're going to raise Yitzchak, but I'll try. Hashem, you're going to save the Jews from Shushan, from Hodu to Kush, but I'm going to try. Hashem, you're going to let me understand. Torah of Shimshon Pinchas presents a fascinating pshat in his Sha'ar B'Tfilah, and he actually says it's a nace that we could understand Torah at all. It's an unbelievable pshat. I learned it a few weeks ago. Torah is divine. Torah is min ha-shamayim. Doesn't make sense that a mortal should be able to understand anything of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can't understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. How could I even understand Torah? It's a fascinating pshat. Api teva, mortal man should not be able to understand anything of the divine. After questions or comments. So Rabbi Akiva said, Hashem, you're going to either help me understand Torah or you're not going to help me understand Torah. But I'm not going to give up. As if water could pierce that rock, then Torah could pierce my heart. So comes Rabbi Akiva, Shehaya Yoshev V'Doresh, who's teaching his Talmidim, and he says, how can I wake you up? Maybe these were the slower students. Maybe it was harder for them. Why were they sleeping in Shir? I don't know. I mean, it's understandable if you sleep in my Shir. Rabbi Akiva, why were they sleeping in Shir? Maybe they're weak. Maybe it's hard for them. Maybe they're not interested. Maybe they gave up on themselves. You're asleep sometimes. What did Rabbi Akiva say? I'm going to wake you up. I, Rabbi Akiva, have a lesson to tell you that I know from my own life. Why do I know from my own life? That my great foremother, Sarah, lived 127 years. How did she live? With tenacity, with courage, with hishtadlus. With Amuna Ba'atzma, after her momentary Vatitzchak Basar Bekirba, she charged ahead. I'm going to tell you about her 127 years, and I'm going to tell you about 127 provinces, about a queen who knew how to rule. After her momentary terror and her disbelief that she actually had to take this job, she went. And look at me, said Rabbi Akiva. Did you ever think I would be darshaning Shir? Did you ever think Moshe Rabbeinu would say to God, what are those crowns? And God said, oh, you know what those crowns are? Somebody will arise named Akiva ben Yosef, and he will darshan from the crowns. Could you imagine that a 40-year-old ignoramus would be able to become the one who holds up the whole world with his Torah? Could you imagine that Mrs. Gold would ever get her child into yeshiva? Mrs. Gold, you have to wait 2 years. Okay, then we will wait. And on day four, room was made for Yanka. That story is about all of us. Did you ever imagine a cochlear implant children could be taught to hear and speak? It requires tremendous kochos. Did you ever imagine that two pregnant women in the Warsaw ghetto would even bother having children? In Yamos HaMashiach, this book will never be absolved. It is as eternal as the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Because a person is chayav in life to embrace the tafkid the Ribbono Shel Olam places upon me. I might find it difficult. Okay, tell God it's hard. Or said it's always easy. I might find I'm afraid. You could be afraid. I might find I don't even like it sometimes. But if Rabbi Akiva could learn Torah, and Sarah, this is not in chronological order, could have a child who became the Yitzchak Avinu, the Ola Tamima. And if Esther Taka, at Chatzi HaMalchus Vateas, what would you like, Queen Esther? I love you so much. I'll give you half of the kingdom. If Mrs. Gold could get her child into yeshiva, and somehow we can overcome our nisnonos. Did I answer all the questions? Esther, were you writing them down? I asked, why Rabbi Akiva? What's the connection between Sarah and Esther? There was another question. Why is that waking him up? Yeah, because why? Why are they sleeping? Maybe it's hard for them. Maybe they can't understand. Maybe they give up on themselves. So what did he say to them? Wake up in life. He didn't just mean wake up from your nap during my shir. He meant wake up in life. Balayla hahu nidada shnas hamelach. When we're awake, in our tafkidim, in our lives, in our bein adam lamakom, in our bein adam la'atzmo. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is awake with us. Chalila v'chas, when we're asleep. So Medrash says, Haman said to Achashverosh, Hashem is sleeping. How could he be sleeping? Because when we're sleeping, Kaviyachol, God is sleeping. And when we're awake, God is awake. I'm just going to end with an interesting thought. You heard Rav Shai Shechter say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Besh talks about a kapitel of Tehillim that we say all the time. Shir Lamalos Esa Einai Al Hahari Me'ain Yavo Esri, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the mountain, from where will my help come? Kuvchov Aleph. Ezri Me'im Hashem Ose Shemayim Ve'aretz. My help is from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Ayitein Amadragacha Ayanim Shemecha. Do not let your foot falter. Do not let your God sleep. Your God is not sleeping. Hinei lo yanev lo yishan shomer yishal. The garden of Israel does not sleep and does not slumber. And then, Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yad yaminecha. Hashem is your guardian. Hashem is your shade on your right side. So the Baal Shem Tov explains, why does it mean Hashem is your shadow or your shade? What you do, your shadow does. Not vice versa. So if the sun's behind me, there's a shadow. If I lift my arm, so what does the shadow do? It lifts its arm. If I put my arm down, what does the shadow do? Down. The shadow puts its arm down. If I walk, what does the shadow do? The shadow walks. If I retreat, what does the shadow do? Shadow retreats. Baal Shem Tov explains, you know what Hashem Tzilcha means? Hashem mimics, so to speak, our actions and our interactions. The way we do, b'midas adam modeid modedin lo, that's what God does. So it's true. First, the pasuk says, hinei lo yanev v'lo yishan shomer yisrael. You all know this kapitel off by heart, kuvchav aleph. First, it says God does not sleep and does not slumber, but then it says there's a caveat. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha. If you go to sleep, so what is your shadow going to do? It's going to go to sleep. But if you rouse yourself and you wake up and you find the kolach and you believe in yourself, so the Ribbono Shel Olam believes in you. And he too will wake up. And he will be saved. La Yehudim Haisa, oh, he will save us. La Yehudim Haisa, Ora, the Simcha, the Sasa and Vikar, Kain Ti Alanu, Adlein Vamir. I wish you all a very meaningful, tiny Esther and a very Freilich and Simcha filled Purim. Thank you, ladies.